the same thing when you show up for whatever race it is. You're like, I did the training. I got up early. You know, I was up late. I went through way too much coffee.
Diz Runs Radio episode 431 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we get started with today's episode, just want to let you know, in case you're kind of new around these parts, or remind you if you've maybe been here for a minute and listened to a few episodes but haven't taken advantage of the opportunity yet, that to get yourself into the drawing, because each and every month, at the beginning of each month, I pick a name. Actually, the random number generator picks a name, and that person wins a free custom training program for the race of their choice, and they can cash it in whenever they want to. So you don't need to be ready for a race right now. You can hold it, and whenever that next race comes up on your calendar, you can cash it in. And it's the same level, same quality of training program as what I sell. It's not some half-baked one-off type of thing. Like it is the exact same level. I'm going to treat you just like a fully paying client, but you get it for free. And again, all you got to do to enter to win is head over to the giveaway page, dizruns.com/giveaway, and you enter your name and your email, and it takes about 2 seconds, and you're good to go. That's all there is to it. You're automatically re-entered each and every month. So, I mean, you do it once, and who knows? You know, one of these months, maybe I'll be calling your name, picking you as the winner. Hopefully, at least. You know, hopefully for you. Maybe not for everybody else, but hopefully for you. So that's the reminder today. Don't forget to do that, because the end of the month is right around the corner. Also, want to let you know that today's guest has a little special offer for everybody and we'll get to that at the end of the episode, so make sure you stick around. And now, let's go ahead and dive in to today's episode of the show. Hey guys, today I'm going a few easy miles with my favorite kind of person, a runner and an entrepreneur, aka a runtrepreneur, if that's even a word. I don't know. But anyway, my guest today has been a runner for many years and has raced all of the distances up to and including a handful of marathons. And after her first baby was born, my guest started a little side business as a designer. And since finding her groove and you know, just putting in the work over a couple of years, things have really started to blow up. She's now a mom of two, a busy entrepreneur, and it is my pleasure to be able to chat with the woman behind Sarah Marie Design Studio, Miss Sarah Clancy. Thanks for joining us today, Sarah.
Hi, thank you. Glad to be here.
Oh, the pleasure is certainly mine. I'm glad you people don't know this, but we've been trying to line this up for a minute, but you know, schedules in life, things are busy, and I'm glad we're finally able to connect. And guys, if you haven't heard about Sarah and what she's got going on yet, you know, get on social media, because it's her stuff's everywhere. But anyway, check out the website. SarahMarieDesignStudio.com is where you can find all of her stuff, and we'll obviously be talking about it as we go. But on the socials, Instagram and Facebook, just look for Sarah Marie Design Studios. And on the Twitter, at ShopSMDS, which is short for Shop Sarah Marie Design Studios, I would assume. As always, you know, we'll have the links to all those places to connect with Sarah and see what she's got going on, and the links to anything else that makes sense to link to in the show notes for today's episode, which you can find at dizruns.com/431. So, Sarah, the way we always start off the show is with a very simple and direct question that sometimes has a pretty simple and direct answer, and sometimes it takes up, you know, pretty much takes up the entire episode, kind of unpacking the details. But it's it's just to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
So I've been thinking about this, and I think my favorite is going to be the half marathon.
Okay.
I like the distance because it's long enough where it's a challenge, but it's not so long where, you know, like I give up a lot of things. I feel like, especially now that I'm a mom, I did a marathon between kids and it was so much work. Now I think I've got a half marathon in the fall that I'm going to try and do. And I feel like I'm built more for the half than I am for a full.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like it. It's challenging. I always have like a nice goal going into it that makes me work really hard on. And yeah, that's got to be my favorite.
Fair enough. Fair enough. It's a very, as you would probably imagine, it's a very common answer around these parts for all the same reasons that you mentioned. I mean, sometimes that training for a marathon, life just gets in the way of that sometimes, or life is already there and it's hard to squeeze in all those miles and hours and time on your feet. Whereas the half, you can do it. You can get your training in, you can race it and still be functional the next day to be mom or employee or business owner or whatever it might be. It is a good distance. There's no argument for me on that.
Agree. I feel like even without like the outside stuff, like without the kids and without the work and without, I think I would still go half just because, I mean, marathons, I love the training. I love the dedication. But I just feel like that's my distance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again, I'm not going to argue. It is a common answer for a lot of good reasons. Where did your running itch begin? Have you been running for forever? I mean, were you a track kid and cross country track kid in school and come all the way up that way, or where did you get started?
Yep. So I started when I was 7th grade, I believe.
Okay.
So in 8th grade. So I played soccer in 7th grade, and I remember the cross-country coach being like, you should come run cross-country in the fall. And I was like, no, you know, I don't want to. And then it was actually, I have an older sister. Her boyfriend was on the cross-country team, and he really talked me into it. So instead of doing soccer in 7th grade, or going into 8th grade, I did cross country, and that's where it started, and I've been running ever since. So
gotcha. You weren't one of the, like, I was one of the kids in school where it was like, I'm not gonna run because that's the worst part of every other sport.
Yeah.
That's the worst part of practice, that's the worst part of everything is running. No thanks. I came to running a little bit later. Was that ever an issue, or you just, once you got in, you were hooked?
You know, I really enjoyed the team, and it was about more than running, you know, for me. And so, like, once I got out of high school and went to college, you know, I ran, but it wasn't like the way I do now. Mm-hmm. I did it, I enjoyed it, I stayed in shape, but it wasn't like now I really look forward to my runs. And, you know, like, I clearly love it. I built a whole company mm-hmm. around it. But it took me a while. I think it was after college. I moved to New York City, and I started using running because it was, you know, like, there's so many times you can, I don't know, it's hard to find sports. I mean, there's tons of stuff to do in New York, but, like, for me, it was nice where it was something I could get up, I could do it. I trained for races. It was like, it made me feel like me. And I think in your 20s, that's something that's important, like, when you're moving locations, when you're moving jobs, when you're not sure what, you know, like, there's a lot of stuff going on, and to do something that makes you feel like you is really important. And I think that's when I really found a new love for it. And I just, like, from then on, it's just been like love story, me and running.
Right. When you got into it at that point, were you competitive, you know, competitive with yourself? Was that part of the drive, or is that just... Okay.
Yeah, I'm a super competitive person. Like, I believe in healthy competition. I think it's a great thing for bettering yourself. And so I started, I think I did my first marathon maybe when I was 24. Yeah. I remember that. But so, yeah, like, I've always been competitive. I like that. And then once I started, it was hard to stop. And New York City is a wonderful place for runners. Like, I always lived within a mile of Central Park. Central Park is phenomenal. I'd get up on mornings, every morning before work, I'd go for a run. You know, there's the paths along the river. There's so many groups and clubs and charities that have running organizations. Like, there's just so much. And a lot, and it's free, you know, like, you don't have to pay to go run in Central Park. And, you know, if you're a young 20-year-old kid living in the city, you're most likely broke.
Right.
So it was like, that was perfect for me too. And all I needed was, like, my sneakers, and I would spend my time making killer playlists and I would go. So I think, and then like when I met my husband, I think when I was 27, and he is like the same spirit as me. We both run, he's done marathons, and we are so competitive with each other. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. So like once we started dating, we trained for New York City together. We had our apartment at the time is along the New York City Marathon course. It's like 59th and 1st. Mm-hmm. So he had lived there before I did, but he always had thrown a marathon party. So when we were running together and we both lived there, we had all of our friends over and people were like betting on who was going to win. And so it's so funny because you know how they do the live tracking?
Mm-hmm.
Like Team Sarah bracelets and Team Chris. And so he was in ahead of me until mile 25.
Ooh.
And like, I'm a huge positive or negative splits person. Like that's how I train for it. And so I knew he's in front of me. I'm like, I'm going to get him. I am. And so we were running and they said it at the apartment, like when I overtook him at the last, like everyone's like, yeah, Chris is going to win. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. And then I passed him and the whole apartment was like, behind. So it was like super competitive even in our group of friends.
That is awesome. Yeah. One thing that I always end up asking when I'm talking to somebody who runs who has run New York in the past is what your kind of highlight is, or what your selling feature is, because I've never run the race. I've kind of come around on the idea of doing it at some point, because I'm not a big, you know, like tens and tens and tens of thousands of people race. Like that's not my thing. I like, you know, 3,000 to 5,000 is a good number for me. And clearly, that's just like wave one of New York. So, you know, it's a big race, but I've kind of come around to the idea of, you know, I'll probably start throwing my name in the lottery here one of these years. And you know, if it gets pulled, I'll go up and do it. But, you know, what's your, you know, maybe your favorite thing about it, and your pitch for somebody who's on the fence about should I do it or should I not? Like, would you say yes, they should do it? And if so, why?
I think 100% yes, do it. I love it. I mean, and there's up and downsides to it, mm-hmm. but I love it. A, because I lived in New York and it's just like, it's a day, mm-hmm. you know? So if you're there, like I've gone and I've spectated and I've run it, but it's like so, the energy about the city is so much fun and everyone comes out to cheer. And I think that part is great. It's just like, there's just so much going on, and we always do it where it's, you have people over, like we would have our apartment there. So we made it into a party. Mm-hmm. Or if you're from out of town, like if you're part of the running community, I think there's enough people there that it's an event, you know, it's not just like, oh, I'm going to get up and go for a run. It's a weekend out of it. And I think that's part of the fun. I think a lot of people do it too, where it's fun to compare. Like for me, with my friends that run it, it's always fun to check in with how their training is going, you know, because it's such a bigger event. Like it's, you do it with your friends kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, again, it's part of the downside too. Did you hear mom in the back? but then too, like if you're just going out and you want to have that small race experience, it's not the one for you. Like if you're going out and you want to be like, I don't want to deal with the people and I don't want to, so like the, I think the part of the fun of it is also can be, if you're not looking for that experience is the downside. But I think if you don't do New York, I think you should do a big one to get that experience, because it's hard to, and I've done, most of my races have been bigger ones. Like I've done half marathons that have been smaller. But you go through all of the race with someone cheering you along, and it's a great motivation, especially when you hit mile 20 and you're coming down along the park, and like my hips were killing me at the finish, you know, and you look around you and there's just thousands of people just going like yelling and screaming mm-hmm. your name. You like write your name. It's just, it's amazing experience. And like, I'm getting excited talking about it. I think it's a wonderful race. I think they do a really good job putting it on. One of the downsides is getting to do like the Staten Island Ferry and getting there in the morning. again, I got to say, we've got friends that live by the start line, so we crash at their couch, and it's daylight savings, so you get an extra hour, and it's a wonderful night rest for me. Mm-hmm. But for, if you don't have that, you got to get up like at 3 a.m. to catch the ferry, and that part's tough. But yeah, I don't know if I sold it at all with that.
No, I think you did. I think that maybe the biggest thing that you said that I don't think I've heard anybody else say before is the idea that what makes it good is also what makes it, you know, kind of rough. Like there's that many people, which makes it really cool, and the city comes alive, which makes it really cool. But it's a logistical, I don't want to say a logistical nightmare, but you're getting that many people to the start line, like, it's going to be tough, and there's going to be some delays, and you know, you're maybe not going to be able to always run the race that you want to run because there's people everywhere. There's other runners everywhere. So you may get a little faster, all those things that I think we kind of maybe intuitively know, it's pros and cons. It's a big city race. So you take the goods with the negatives as well.
And, if someone is running it, like I ran it the last time I ran, well, two times ago, last time I ran it, it was after I had my son and I was like, I'm just going to go and have fun and see how I do. But the time before that I ran it, we trained really hard and I ran it for a time. But I would say if you're going and like looking to do your best, mm-hmm. I mapped out the course, like the traverses where I'm like, okay, this is going to be a corner. I want to be on this side of the road coming up to it because you will lose so much time going like on the outside of a corner around all the people. Like if you're, they're like these little kind of things that you learn, like most of the races I run have been big races when it comes to marathons. So it's like these things where you like look at your GPS watch and you're like, I ran 27 something miles. Like, mm-hmm. you know, so those are the type of things where if you're doing it where you want to try and get your best time, you pay attention to those little things where it's like, okay, so here's a water stop. They're going to be crowded on these first couple miles because, you know, it's a madhouse.
Right.
We always have like friends in different stops along the way. I coordinate with them and be like, okay, if you're going to be here, be on this side of the road. I'm like, do you want me to bring you stuff? I'm like, all right, yeah, people bring me the little Poland Spring bottle because I won't drink the full one. But then like that one's easy. And then like we get handoffs, you know, mm-hmm. so it's like you plan it out. It's such an experience though. It's so much fun.
Yeah, and that's a good a good reminder that if you are, you know, whatever race you're running, if you're really trying to race it, to have an idea of the tangents, because you know if it's a race like I'm talking about, you know, 3,000, 4,000 people, like after the first couple miles, like you don't have to know exactly where the corners are, because like when you see it, you get over to the inside lane,
exactly.
You're fine. But with that race, yeah, like you need to know well in advance which side of the road you should be on.
Yeah, so it's stuff like that where it's little things, but it's still, you know, it makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that, I'm going to say if, but it's probably more of a win. If I run New York, it's just going to be like you said at the beginning, it's just going to be a day. It's just going to be have fun, go out there and enjoy it. Sightsee, you know, get a different tour of the city than I've ever had. And just, you know, who cares if it's, you know, 4.5, 5 hours, five, whatever, like just take your time and enjoy it and have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you go into it like knowing what to expect, whether it's a big race, it's a small race, like whatever it is, there's ups and downs of both things, and you just go into it expecting what it is, and you won't be disappointed, and you won't, like, there's no point in stressing out. You're like, oh, there's going to be so many people. Well, yeah, it's New York City Marathon. You know, like, go in knowing what you're getting, and it's an experience that I think everyone should enjoy.
Gotcha. It's a lot. It sounds a lot to me. I mean, it's obviously there's lots of differences, but a lot. Like I'm in Central Florida, so I've do a lot of the Disney races, or I have done in the past a lot of the Disney mm-hmm. races, and I go over and spectate on a fairly regular basis. We're only about 45 minutes from the parks, and I mean, it's the same thing. Like if you're gonna run a Disney race, you kind of got to know what you're getting yourself into, and it's gonna be different than a lot of the other races that you've maybe done in the past.
Exactly.
Another New York question for you that I've asked a few times. I feel like, again, as an outsider, like I've literally been in New York City for a day. one day, I don't know how 15 years ago or something like that. We're kind of passing through the New England area, and you know, stopped and took the train into the city, and like, you know, knock yourself out and explore the city for a day, and like, you know, like, yeah, I saw what, like 1% of New York maybe. For folks that are traveling there, whether it's for business, for vacation, for sightseeing, tourists, whatever the case might be, I feel like those of us on the outside are like, yeah, you know, you can run in Central Park and that's about it. But from an insider, you mentioned that there's lots of great places to run. You know, what are a couple other cool places that for somebody that maybe isn't familiar, it doesn't know the layout of New York very well? And obviously, it's a big city, so there's you know, you're not going to always be in every place that you can run. But you know, are there a couple of other good highlights that, like, you know, if you come to the city and you want to run somewhere besides Central Park, try to, you know, if this works out, this would be a good suggestion.
Yes. So if you, I mean, because Manhattan is an island, so. Mm-hmm. Literally the whole outside, there's paths along the water. So depending on, like, no matter where you are, you just head east or west and you're going to hit a running path. If you're in Brooklyn, there's Prospect Park, which is wonderful. Again, too, water along there. They've got, like, New York does a really good job with their running paths, and I know they've updated a lot of them. The bridges all are great to run over, and like, by no means are they flat. So it's a little bit, I mean, Central Park too, there's lots of hills in there, which I think people would be surprised who are not familiar with it, how hilly it is.
Right.
So there's all those places. Yeah, it's basically, it's as long along the whole waterfront, all the bridges, the parks, not all the parks are, I mean, there's other parks, but they're smaller. Mm-hmm. So Central Park, Prospect Park, those are the two ones. And then, yeah.
And just go, just explore. Just,
yeah. And there's always people out running. It's, you know, it's awesome.
Gotcha.
That's the biggest thing I move, because I'm on Long Island now. Mm-hmm. But that's the biggest thing I miss about living in the city is running there.
Right.
Like I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah, and you know, it's something to be said about, like you said, always having always other people out there running. Like it's just mm-hmm. even if you don't know anybody, you don't know the people, but just to, you know, share eye contact and a nod and a smile and a wave and
And there's a lot of times you'll see the same person. Like, I would go run at the same time every morning, and I see the same people out, and you wave, and you're like, mm-hmm. you become running friends, and you never actually meet.
Right.
You
know? Right. Exactly. That's something that. That runners tend to do. I mean, and I'm the same way. Like the there's a little lake here in town that's almost three miles exactly around. So it's obviously it's 5K central there. Like every weekend there's a 5K. But we run there a couple times a week. And I mean, it's the same thing. If you're there the same times a day, you see the same people. And like, yeah, I don't know anybody's name, but you say good morning to everybody because you see them. You know, every Tuesday and Thursday they're out there. So it's cool how that works out. Shifting gears a little bit, Sarah, you're talking about the kind of the business side of your life. From what I can tell from looking at the website and whatnot, like that wasn't necessarily a big, you know, starting Sarah Marie Design Studios wasn't, the plan all along, but it kind of happened. How did that whole ball of wax get started? I know that's a very vague question and probably not a good question to ask, but, you know, how did that get started and kind of, you know, the beginning of the journey to get to where you are today?
Well, it's going to be kind of a rambling answer, so prepare.
That's what I get for asking a terrible question, so go for it.
So I started like doing, it wasn't exactly what it is now, but when my son was born, I wanted to do something. I didn't want to, you know, my husband and I made the plan where I was going to stay home. I thought about doing freelance work and other things that it didn't work out once I had him. And it was like commuting back and forth to the city and stuff like that. It wasn't ideal. So I started drawing again. So what happened was when I was pregnant, my doctor didn't want me to continue running. So I had to stop running. And then I found like this void of time where I had to do, I didn't know what to do to fill that this time that I, you know, I was, I went from training for a marathon to not being able to run and being pregnant. So, you know, the hours you put in every day was just, it was a void. So I started drawing again. And I did a couple drawings that were, you know, the Boston Marathon or, you know, some other things. And then people were like, oh, these are cool. So I started doing some other things. And, you know, one thing led to the next. And people started liking, like, I did a couple t-shirts that I put on one of those generic websites. Like, I upload the design and then you can go on and buy it. Mm. And I think I made like a dollar for a $1 t-shirt. You know, like, it was something like that. But so once I did that, and it was more for, like, I needed to do something. Like, I wanted cooler stuff for myself to wear. Like, the ideas that I had in my head, I was like, no one's making the stuff that I want to wear or I want. So I started doing it, and then people started liking it. And that's when I was like, okay, I'll do a couple more, and they would sell. And it just kind of happened organically, like at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So that's how it started. But then once it started getting traction, I don't want it to sound like, oh, it just kind of happened. And this was so like 2016 is what, like, and I like to say like January 2016 is when I was like, okay, you know, I think I'll make this into a real business. And it went from, like, I had an on-demand printer. So how it worked was, I didn't have a huge amount of inventory in my house. Like, if you wanted a shirt, you'd place an order and I'd have it printed for you.
Right.
You know? So that's how it started. And then it did, you know, I did that well enough where when I decided to be like, okay, I'm going to turn this into a business, I had enough. Like, I didn't go out and get funding. It was just kind of like, I sold enough shirts to start where people thought it was cool. Oh my God, sorry. It's just nonstop. And so, like, when I was like, all right, I'm going to start this, I researched printers and I talked to a bunch of people, and then I bought my first bunch of orders, you know, like, so it just, and then once I decided to do that, like, I put a lot of time and work into it now, and it's going well. And we try and work during nap times and when grandma can babysit and, you know, like.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, the at-home business with one is tough enough on my end. I Lord knows if she wasn't gone during, you know, if my daughter wasn't gone during the day for school and daycare or whatever you want to call it, like,
yeah.
I would get nothing done. So I understand. Working when you can.
Yep. So we actually, and the thing is, too, with it, where I remember having conversations with my husband about it, where I didn't want to do nothing. Like, I didn't want to quit my job. And not that being a stay-at-home mom is not a really hard job. I knew that I wanted to do something. Like, I was like, I went to school for 4 years and I worked for 10 years. Like, I want to keep doing something because I know, I just want to. So I think the fact that I had my kids kind of brought this all about. Like, if I didn't have my first, like, if I didn't have my two kids, my son, you know, if I never found out I was pregnant, I would still probably be working at a job that I didn't love. And, you know, so I think as hard as it is for me to work and be a full-time mom and, like, try and do it all at once, I'm very grateful the fact that, like, this opportunity came about because I had my kids.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. It's from one, you know, entrepreneur to another. I am very thankful that my wife was able to, is still able to do enough working wise that I can continue to do this and continue to kind of keep growing and keep, you know, working towards the direction that I want to go. How has I feel like I've learned a lot of things that have helped me, you know, in the business side of my life from being a runner. And I'd be curious if that's the same for you. You know, I feel like running is such a great teacher for a lot of us. There's a lot of lessons you can learn from running. Have there been things that you noticed that, like, whether it's perseverance, whether it's whatever it might be, that, like, oh, like, thank God I ran, you know, in the past, and that's really helped me with starting and growing the business.
You know, I think there's a huge correlation between running and you know, a lot of life. And business is the same way, where it's kind of, you get out what you put in. Like, there's no, like, you show up to a race and you're not going to run a great race if you haven't done any work. And I think the same thing with business, where no one's going to come and shop at my website if I don't spend the time taking pictures, which sometimes are mediocre, but, you know, like, I think it's the same thing, where it's, your outcome is reflective of how much you do and how much you care about things. Like, if you don't care about something, you're not going to, you know, put your best foot forward. And I think that is the same thing. And it's the same thing, like, it goes along the same with patience. You have to put in the work, and then you don't reap the benefits, like, immediately. You know, like you put in the work, you put in all of the practice and the training, and then, you know, when same thing, if I'm doing shirts, I do the research and I get samples and, you know, you do all of that back end stuff and then it hits the website and that's like your race day where you're like, it's here. I've done all of this work. Look what I did. You know, it's the same thing when you show up for whatever race it is. You're like, I did the training. I got up early. You know, I was up late. I went through way too much coffee, you know, and here's what I have to show for it. And I think, there's so many parallels, and I think running pays off across the board with everything in life with the same type of, I don't know, lessons, goals. Yeah, I think it trains you well.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I've said several times that I've never been a big metaphor guy, but the more I get into running, the more I like shake my fist at my high school English teachers and say, you know, because running is such a great metaphor. There's so many lessons and so many parallels, and you obviously hit on several of them that just running is pains me to admit it, but is the metaphor for my life, at least, it seems like.
It really is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the stuff that you're doing, the designs, the sayings, the stuff that goes on, the, you know, I mean, you got a whole host of things for people that aren't aware. I mean, shirts and mugs and hats and the whole nine yards. But who comes up with all the, are those all Sarah originals, or is there a team, or how do you come up with all the different sayings and things that are on the shirts? Because a lot of them are really clever. I'm like, God, who would think of that? But I'm not creative enough, so maybe that's why I don't think that way.
It's all me.
It's all you.
Yeah, it's me sitting behind my computer. And, you know, I mean, I'm always thinking about things and ideas and brainstorming and whatnot. So, I'm always constantly, like, I launched some new stuff last week. Mm-hmm. And I'm already like, okay, I have all of these other ideas that I'm, like, trying to tweak and make perfect for what comes in the fall. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and I mean, I'm a runner, so it helps that I kind of get runner
right
jokes, ideas, thoughts, so... That's a big part of it.
Yeah, it certainly helps that you speak the language, and I'm sure that I'm probably not the first one who said, like, God, that's the most genius, you know, shirt saying or whatever. And you're just like, yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, feedback has been pretty good. I mean, across the board, I still pretty small. I'm sure there's going to be some not so nice feedback eventually, but you know, we take it in stride.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. It's the nature of the beast. You can't please everybody. So you just do the best you can.
You can't put anything out there without, you know, expecting a little bit pushback, but yeah, so far, I mean, and runners get it. I feel for the most part that people have great personalities and sense of humors, especially runners. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to, runners like to talk about running things, so to find that community, that it's like kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, like, look at this.
Right.
It's a fun way to connect with other runners too.
Yeah, I agree, and I certainly would recommend everybody to go, if nothing else, go check out the website, because give yourself some time. Give yourself 20, 25 minutes, because you're going to start slipping through and seeing the designs and start looking at, oh, that's really funny, that's really clever, that was me getting ready for today, was, you know, like, oh, I've got plenty of time, and all of a sudden I look at the clock, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, I don't have that much more time, because I've been looking at t-shirt designs and you know, running up a credit card bill here, looking at everything.
Me happy.
Here's the most I'm setting the record for terrible questions asked in a single conversation here, but you know, you've got two kids now, you've got a business that's going really well, continuing to grow. I mean, you were in Runner's World not too long ago, which I'm sure brought a whole lot, you know, host of more eyes to the website and orders and things of that nature. You know, you got the husband, you got the marriage to take care of, you got your own running. So you know, for the runner up for the worst question of today's episode, how do you find the time for all of that stuff? Because I know there can't be, you know, finding balance is a joke, like that doesn't really happen. But how do you find time to take care of each of these facets of your life, which, I mean, could each in and of themselves almost be a full time job?
It's really hard, and you know, a lot of the days I feel like I'm not doing a great job at it. Mm-hmm. But every mom I talk to, no matter what they do, always has the same thing, like, oh, I should spend more time with my kids. Oh, I should spend time doing this. Oh, mm-hmm. my kids' food, like, whatever it is, it's always. And I'm not speaking, like, I'm my friends who are moms feel this way. I talk to them more. I'm sure dads have the same type, but, you know, it's more common for moms to be like the primary caregiver. Mm-hmm. But it's hard, you know, like I don't think balance, I don't look at every day and try and make day-to-day balance. Like, I don't look at today and be like, oh, you know, I didn't do everything today that I'm supposed to, but I try and look at it from the week or like by month. So it's like my week will be like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I have someone who's helping me. She's just started coming in. And so like we spend 4 hours every day, and that's when we do work. We pack orders, we do this, you know, right. And then it allows me to take Tuesday and Thursday. And like today I woke up early. I didn't wake up at six. I set my alarm for six. I hit snooze a couple times. But you know, like I wake up, I make coffee and I answer emails, and then I did a load of laundry, and then I, you know, did a bunch of house chores, and then my kids woke up and I fed them breakfast, and then we went grocery shopping, you know? So it's right. Like, so I'll try and, I mean, I'm getting better about it now, but I try and schedule things where it's like, okay, you know, on Friday we'll take the kids to do this, and I won't answer emails, and I won't answer my phone. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like Sunday, maybe someone can watch my kids, and I'll go to brunch with my husband. You know, like right. It's hard where you just have to try and make time for it. And then you also, I just do my best not to be too hard on myself, because sometimes work will be like when Runner's World thing came out, I was so busy. Mm-hmm. We would order in dinner, and my husband would sit at the table and eat with my kids, and I'd pack orders across the kitchen, you know, like it was just so busy. And I knew that was going to be for, you know, a week or two. Right. And I had to do that, and I had to do it, and I had to get it out. And then the week it slowed down, I was like, okay, we're going to go and I'll make a day trip with my kids, mm-hmm. you know? So I think if you look at it a little bit further back, you know, instead of day to day, it helps, you know.
But it's hard. Yo, go ahead.
I drink a lot of coffee and I don't sleep very much.
Yeah, I bet. And I think that there's a lot there that that we can all kind of learn from it. And I mean, it's the same thing with our running, you know, like you don't do necessarily speed work every day. You don't do necessarily tempo work or easy runs or long, but like over the course of a week or 2 weeks or a month or a training cycle, like you get in everything you need. And it's the same thing with all of us, whether it's you're self-employed, whether you have a job, whether you're whatever it might be, whether you're a student, it's all the same thing. We have to kind of compartmentalize. And some days you're more focused on one area of your life, and other days you ignore that one and focus on something different. And that's just kind of how we have to live these days.
Yep. And also, and same thing, another parallel with running, like you get injured. That's the part you baby. Mm-hmm. So it's like every once in a while, my kids will get sick and everything else stops. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, sit on the couch and rub a sick kid's head until he feels better. You know, right. Like you have to be flexible when it comes to that, and scheduled as much as you can to fit it all in. Mm-hmm. So it's hard. That's, like, it's hard.
Yeah. No, I can certainly agree. I want to say like I can relate, but I can't. Like, I don't have, like I said, I don't have the kids at home. My daughter goes to you know, school. Like, my wife works at a school and they have a 2-year-old class there, so she goes to school every day. And you know, it's like it certainly makes it a little bit easier when you can have that chunk of time to get stuff done, and yeah. Makes it easy to compartmentalize when the kids aren't here, or in my case, my daughter's not home. And but yeah, everybody's got that struggle. No, like I said, no matter what you do or what, you know, everybody's got those different areas in the life that tug them in different directions. And it's all about I love how you said that, kind of not looking at balance for the day, but looking at bigger picture and making sure that everything gets taken care of at least as it needs to, and hopefully maybe you can get ahead a little bit at some point as well.
Yeah, we prioritize, and we also multitask. Mm-hmm. Like, multitask like a mother has a new meaning.
Yes, yes, I certainly agree there. So as we're getting kind of close here to wrapping things up, Sarah, the way I enjoy kind of ending these chats is to ask what I call a philosophical question. And it's not something, it's not some huge piece of philosophy, but it's just very open-ended, you know, kind of like that introductory question where you can go any type of direction you want. And sometimes the answers are really short and sweet. And sometimes the answers, you know, take 5 or 8 or 10 minutes or whatever, however long it takes to get through it. it. There's no constraints, but this is kind of, you know, the wrapping up point. And I have a couple of questions that I usually just pick one from based on kind of how the chat has gone. And I think I'd like to ask you, what does it mean to you to be a runner? You know, when somebody says, you know, there's Sarah over there and she's a mom and she's a business owner and she's a wife and a runner, what do you want or what do you hope is maybe conveyed by being Sarah the runner? What does that mean to you?
I think two things. I think it means dedication and I think it means happiness, because like those are the two things that I love about running. First it makes me happy. I really, when I go for a run, I find myself, whether it's singing to my music, like a stupid smile, you know, like it makes me happy. I feel free. I feel like me. I love it. So I think that's one half of it. And I think to be a runner, it takes dedication. And I think that's an important thing, especially now. Like, it's easy to look at stuff and be like, oh, I can give up on that. Oh, I can, you know, do something else. Oh, I can, you know, there, I feel like our world has a lot of fleeting things in it. Mm-hmm. And I think to be a runner, you have to be dedicated to it. And I think the two of them don't go hand in, or they go hand in hand. Like if you don't love something, you're not, it's going to be hard to be dedicated to it. So I think if someone has that passion to be a runner, it's something that should be embraced and it should bring you so much happiness. Hmm. I don't know if that answers at all.
It absolutely does. The beauty of those questions is that there is no, I mean, I don't want to say that there is no answer, but there's no way that it should go. It goes however you want it to go. And I think that the things that you said and the dedication part and the happiness part, I think there's a lot of folks that can relate to that. And so I think that's a perfect and beautiful way to kind of wrap this up for today. So again, guys, SarahMarieDesignStudio.com is the website. Check it out. Look around. Bring your credit card with you, because you're gonna see, I guarantee you, you're gonna see one or two things that you're like, oh, I gotta have this. And then there's gonna be a dozen other ones that you're like, oh, that's really cool. I wouldn't mind having that too. So be prepared. Know it going into it. That's what's gonna happen. But definitely check it out. It's well worth it. SarahMarieDesignStudio.com again is the website. Instagram, Facebook, Sarah Marie Design Studios, Twitter at shops. Shop SMDS is the Twitter link. And again, disruns.com/431. Check it out. It's got the links so you can connect right to wherever you want to go and say hi to Sarah and check out the stuff that she's got, because it is really good stuff. And again, if you're just trolling through Instagram, you're probably going to see it on half of the people that you follow, the different shirts and things of that nature. So Sarah, thanks for taking the time today. Thanks for making even more time. Yeah, you're busy enough and you found time to accommodate me. So well, certainly very much appreciated. Have a great rest of the day, and obviously good luck going forward with the business and with the running, and hopefully our paths can cross again and we can maybe do this in person at some point or whatever the future holds. Looking forward to staying in touch and nothing but the best.
I'll come out and cheer when you run New York City Marathon.
You got it. We got a date.
Sounds good.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope that you enjoyed the conversation between Sarah and myself. And as always, I would love to know what your takeaway was from this episode. What was the thing that stood out to you from our chat that really resonated with you today? For me, it was when I was talking with Sarah about, you know, kind of some of the parallels between running and other areas of her life, and especially from her business. And she talked about how you get out of it what you put in. You know, if you're going to put in the time and the effort and the dedication and the consistency, keep showing up, keep doing the not so fun things, but keep doing the things that are required, you progress, you get better, you grow. And that relates to running, that relates to business, that relates to a whole host of other areas of your life, personal development, relationships, skills and talents and learning and education. I mean, anything and everything, I think, in this life, you know, if you put in the effort, you can expect better results than if you just kind of go through the motions and don't really commit and don't really try, or at least don't put forth the maximum effort. And that was, you know, it's something that I think that we know, for the most part. But when we were talking, it really just stood out to me as something that again that I know and that I pay lip service to. But I, you know, do I always put it into practice? You know, and if I'm going to be honest, if I'm going to be fully transparent, I don't know that I always do in every area of my life. You know, I want this, I want that, I want the podcast to grow, I want my running to get faster, I want my relationship, my wife to get better, I want to be smarter, I want to be, you know, this, that, and the other. I want to continue to learn and educate myself and yada, yada, yada. I want all of these things, but do I put in the amount of effort in each of those areas of my life that is required to get to the results that I want? And I don't know that I do. I don't know that I do. I wish I could say that I absolutely did, but I don't think I do all the time. And this was just a good reminder from Sarah today that you get out what you put in. So if you want something big, you got to be willing to work for it. You got to be willing to be patient and keep working for a long time. Sometimes a long time. Sometimes success comes quick, or growth or change or whatever. You know, progress comes rather quickly, but it doesn't come without work. That's for sure. So that was my takeaway. I'd love to hear yours. What was yours? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRun. Shoot me an email. DizRuns@gmail.com, or better yet, head to the show notes for this episode, which you can find at DizRuns.com/431, and leave a comment there for myself and obviously for others to see it as well. As promised at the beginning of the episode, I mentioned that Sarah had a little offer, and if we would have had our ducks in a row before the episode started, we could have just worked this into the flow of the conversation. But, you know, I mean, life was busy. She's got the kids. Obviously, you heard her son talking and asking for and calling for early in the episode. Funny story on that. She shared a picture with me after we got done chatting where, you know, he was kind of late for a nap, and, all of a sudden he just kind of passed out and, he was sleeping in one of those positions where, you know, if I was sleeping in that position and I tried to wake up, I wouldn't be able to move for a week. And as a toddler, I'm sure he was back up and going an hour later. But anyway, Sarah's offering a discount code for her products. Again, it's SarahMarieDesignStudios.com. You can head over there, and anything on the site, 10% off. Just use the code DizRuns at checkout, which I didn't ask for that. She volunteered it. So thank you, Sarah, for your generosity. And guys, like I said in the episode, definitely go check it out. Bring your credit card, because there's good stuff there. And you know, it, when you see a few things that you like, because you're going to, use the code DizRuns and save yourself a little bit of change on the top of it. So thank you, Sarah, for that. And now let's go ahead and wrap this thing up, guys. Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. And don't forget, DizRuns.com/giveaway is the place to get yourself signed up for the free training program that I'll be giving away, you know, as this episode comes out in just a few days. The end of the month is right around the corner, and there will be a new winner at the beginning of the new month. So get yourself entered, and you're automatically re-entered each and every month. But that's it for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Hope that you enjoyed it. And as always, I just appreciate your time, appreciate your attention, and all of the support that each and every one of you offer on such a regular basis. Thank you doesn't always seem like it's enough for me, but sometimes it's the best I can do, and it's very honest and heartfelt. Thank you. So until next time, take care of yourselves, and we'll talk soon. See you guys.